Hi, and welcome to another episode of Us Unfiltered, the podcast where we share raw personal stories, practical tips, and strategies to help you manage your mental health. I'm your host, Adrienne Salina, and today's episode is something that I'm becoming more and more passionate about. In the next 2 months, I'll be a certified life, physical health, and mental wellness coach. I'm taking several classes over the next few months to become certified in these areas, not only to bring more information to this podcast, but also take this work even further by helping clients directly. I started this podcast to help connect people with relatable mental wellness stories and provide tips to manage issues and help you get connected to resources. But by taking on clients, I can bring that work directly to you. And as a part of my training, I'll be getting certified as a somatic wellness coach. You may be thinking, what is somatic therapy? Well, it's a form of body-centered therapy that focuses on the connection between the mind and the body to promote healing and well-being. Unlike traditional talk therapies, somatic therapy involves both psychotherapy and physical techniques to help release pent-up tension, and it addresses the trauma that is stored in the body. And while today I am not going to be talking specifically on somatic therapy, I did want to just bring that up because that is something I am going to be sharing in the future once I have more certifications and training on this subject to help you learn realistic strategies to help release trauma and tension physically in the body that is going to emotionally help you and improve your quality of life. As we just discussed, somatic therapy is a form of body-centered therapy, and it is a connection between the mind and the body. So today I wanted to talk about how your mind affects your body, especially when coping with pain and managing your mood. Pain is our body's way of telling us that something is wrong. It can be sharp or throbbing or dull or warm, and it can occur anywhere in the body, whether it's a headache or a sprained ankle or just chronic conditions. Pain can be distressing and it can make you just fixate on it. But did you know how our pain also impacts our mood? Our minds and our bodies are so closely connected that changes in one can actually lead to a change in the others. So when we feel pain, signals are being sent from our brain, which then releases chemicals and neurotransmitters that affect our mood, causing feelings of either sadness, irritability, or even anxiety. Similarly, when we are in a negative emotional state, it can amplify our perceptions of pain, making it feel more intense. So living with chronic pain can take a toll on our emotional well-being. It can lead to so much frustration and anger and hopelessness. It can disrupt our sleep and make it difficult for us to do things that we enjoy. And it can actually affect our relationships. And when pain becomes a constant presence in our lives, it can lead to severe depression, anxiety, and just a decreased overall quality of life. And I want to share a personal story about how I have seen this firsthand. Both my mother and my sister have battled stage 3 and stage 4 breast cancer. Luckily, they both are survivors and have overcome this and now are in remission. But my mother specifically had a very rare form of cancer, and during certain rounds of chemo and this other drug that she was having to take called Herceptin during this time, she was in so much pain. I mean, severe pain throughout her body and specifically her joints. And she also had just all sorts of rashes all over her hands and elbows, sometimes her knees and back, because of the radiation, the chemo, and this Herceptin drug. After a while, it really started to wear on her mental state. And my mother in general is an extremely strong and independent, courageous woman. But during this time, I watched her mental state really deteriorate. She really struggled. And it was hard for me as a child to watch somebody who I've always admired their ability to face adversity start to become very depressed. And I know that it wasn't so much that she was just sulking in a woe is me, how can this happen to me? You know, my mom's not that type of person. It was more the fact that the amount of pain that she was in had started to take over her life. And it was holding her back from being able to do things that she enjoyed. And she was also just extremely tired all of the time. And that's very common. A lot of people who have been through cancer and have gone through cancer treatments will tell you that chemo and radiation, they are rough on your physical health. It is rough on your body. And just watching my mom get so tired, so beaten down, and honestly depressed during this time, it was hard. It was hard to watch. Luckily, she has many family members and friends who were there for her during this time to help her cope and talk about it and make sure that she had the help that she needed around the house. And I actually lived with her and my dad for part of this time. I moved home, and that was the beginning of my divorce, but I was able to help see about my mother during this time. But it was hard. It's hard watching someone that you love go through so much pain physically and emotionally. And I share that story to simply say that when you are in physical pain and you aren't coping with it, it will start to deteriorate your mental state. And it's not all going to go away, especially if you deal with chronic pain. But there are strategies that we can hone in on and learn to lessen the negative impact of pain on our mood. And here are a few tips. So number one, engage in relaxation techniques. So practicing things like deep breathing, meditation, and mindfulness can really help reduce stress and promote a more positive mood. And when we're reducing stress, we're actually releasing certain hormones in our body and also reducing the stress hormones in our body. So it really does provide an improved mood. There is actual science behind relaxation techniques and improving stress and pain. Number two is staying socially connected. So when we maintain relationships with family members and friends, it not only gives you a safe space to talk about chronic pain or emotional issues that you may be facing, but it really does provide more support and understanding when you're going through difficult times. A lot of times when you're facing issues, we have a tendency to isolate ourselves, whether it be that we just don't feel comfortable talking about it, or we're just so overwhelmed that we don't even know how to begin that conversation. But when we stay socially connected, it helps us find support. And that's really important when we're going through issues. Number three, and this is probably the most obvious, is seek medical help. If you are dealing with chronic pain, consult a healthcare professional to identify the cause of your pain and explore various treatment options. They can recommend medications, but I highly suggest trying to seek physical therapy or alternative therapies that can alleviate both the physical and the emotional aspects of chronic pain. Number four, pursue hobbies and activities that are going to bring you joy and fulfillment and can distract from pain and uplift your mood. I work at a nonprofit veteran service organization, and we do have veterans that we work with that are disabled or have some sort of previous physical injury that has made certain aspects of their life a lot more challenging. And many of them have found so much joy and fulfillment by doing adaptive sports. And I give that example because when we engage in things that get us moving, that get our minds off of the emotional state that we may be in or the physical pain that we may be in, it not only gets our blood moving, it gets our endorphins pumping, but it uplifts your mood and it makes you feel like you're accomplishing something. So whether you like to paint or wood carve or draw or join a bowling league, whatever it is that is going to bring you some sort of fulfillment and help provide a healthy distraction is really going to give you more sense of completeness and a better quality of life. Number five is practicing self-care. I've said this one before. I have a whole episode on this topic that you really should listen to if you have not listened to it. But prioritizing self-care activities such as getting enough sleep, eating a balanced diet, engaging in regular exercise, they all can positively impact both your physical well-being and your emotional well-being. When we start to neglect ourselves physically and emotionally, it's going to take a toll on both aspects. and you'll probably start feeling one before the other. There's a common trend that's been going around Instagram and TikTok that a good example of trauma. The beginning of your anxiety doesn't start out with complete exhaustion, burnout, panic attacks, severe depression, etc. It starts little by little. I like that example because it's a lot of times when trauma or negative things impact our life and we don't start addressing it, it chips away at us, at our mental, little by little. And then one day you have a full-blown panic attack. And that may not be the case for everyone, but I'm giving that example because that has happened to me. I know lots of people that that's happened to. You start suddenly having these severe, out of nowhere panic attacks, and you're like, what the hell is happening? Well, those panic attacks are stemming from something, and it's likely a trauma response. It's likely something that has been building up slowly over time, and then suddenly one day, both your physical and your emotional states are responding. So when we practice self-care, when we prioritize our needs emotionally and physically, we are making sure that our body and our mind are getting the proper rest, proper care, proper health that they need in order to make our quality of life good. Number six, and I'm going to really drive this point home, and I'm going to have even more information about this in my next episode, is avoid risky behaviors. I'm about to hurt someone's feelings, but some people, actually, I'm going to rephrase that. A lot of people turn to alcohol or substances when they are in pain, but these methods of coping have serious and severe downsides and do nothing to solve any of the root problems related to the pain or the negative mood. And 9 times out of 10, that type of behavior, that type of response to treating the chronic pain or the emotional pain is going to become cyclical and addictive. The more you go to substances and alcohol to solve the problem of your pain, the more you're going to continue to do it. And it's never going to fix the issue. It is never, ever, ever going to solve the root of the problem. It only prolongs it and, quite frankly, makes the issue worse. So if this is you, if you feel like I'm stepping on your toes right now and hurting your feelings, I'm sorry. I don't want you to think that I'm coming at you, that I am belittling you, or that I'm being condescending, because it couldn't be further from the truth. I can tell you, as someone who's struggled with alcohol and substance abuse for years, I mean years, I struggled with this, that it only made my life worse in so many areas. It made my health worse. It made my emotional state worse. It made my financial state worse. It made my relationships worse. It affected every single aspect of my life in only a negative way, and it didn't solve any of the issues. So when I quit drinking and I gave up substances, my life immediately started to improve in all of those aspects. And was it hard? Yeah, absolutely. It was one of the most difficult things I have ever done in my entire life. Quitting any kind of addiction is going to be hard. I'm not going to lie to you. It is a daily choice to prioritize my emotional and my physical state over wanting to take a drink of alcohol. But it was the best decision I have ever made in my entire life. And that's why next week I have a whole episode about sobriety. I'll be celebrating 1 year of sobriety. But I wanted to highlight those risky behaviors because it's so common. It's so common around the globe that people turn to alcohol and substances. It's become the norm. Please take this as just a friendly and kind and encouraging and supportive reminder that these methods of coping ultimately will not help you. As we've discussed today, pain has a profound effect on our mood and our emotional well-being, and understanding the relationship of how these two work together, it allows us to approach pain management from a more holistic perspective. And by seeking appropriate medical help, by implementing coping mechanisms, and by focusing on self-care, we can not only minimize the impact of pain on our mood, but we can also improve our quality of life. And that's really what we're here to do. Remember, you are not alone, and there are resources available to help to support you on your journey to better physical and emotional well-being. Thank you for tuning in to Us Unfiltered. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe and share it with others who might benefit from it. Until next time, take care of yourself and each other. Remember, mental health matters, and so do you.